Well, how y'all doing? I made it.
Oh, look at you, birthday boy.
Don't do that. Don't go there. My birthday is not like your birthday. Your birthday starts in April and ends in November. Mine begins at about 12 a.m. and ends at about 1 a.m. And that was yesterday, not today. For some reason, I just didn't really feel like having a birthday this year, to tell you the truth.
Oh, poor you.
Maybe I'm just done with it.
You're over it.
Oh, it's all good. Whatever. Yeah, I'm 55. There it is. What are you going to do?
Staying alive.
It's all right. It's all right. I'm middle-aged now. It's official.
Good.
I'm going to make it to 110.
Bad time.
Middle-aged. That being said, well, hi, everybody. How are y'all doing? Thanks for tuning in. We're just going to bring another hour of what we normally do on Wednesdays, American Hit Radio, Heidi and I. Which is to say, we're probably going to talk about 1973 for about the 15th or 16th time this year. Maybe even more than that, because these anniversary shows that we're doing. Going back 40 years is fun for me. 73 was, now that I'm talking about how old that I am, 73, I guess one of the reasons I'm interested is it was a transitional year. Not only was it a great year for music, but it was like the first year I started high school. And this was like kind of like what I remember, like the stuff that, you're listening to in eighth grade that you're listening to when you suddenly, I changed schools for high school. Ninth grade was a new school for me. And so you have your own tastes and your own ideas and things change. And that's kind of what I'm going to be playing today, because all three of the albums that I'm playing, I remember distinctly having them when they came out. Now, last week we did a show based on Quadrophenia, The Who. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that was obviously a lot of fun. What I distinctly remember about that album, it came out in October and I really wanted it, but it was a double album. I didn't, it cost probably cost around $12 to buy it. And yeah, so I ended up waiting till Christmas. I got it as a Christmas present. But I also remember, just on a personal level, just these stories make funny, I remember things. That was also the same year. Because I changed schools, I used to have these really ugly tortoiseshell glasses. And they really kind of made me feel like embarrassed. I didn't want to go to the new school wearing tortoiseshell glasses. I couldn't wait to get contact lenses so I could basically not have that look. I weigh like 82 pounds and I'm 6 foot tall. You could imagine the skinny kid with glasses. I was just ripe to get picked on. So I got my contact lenses and I took to them right away. I love them. They were really easy and really comfortable. And I think it was the second day that I was wearing them that the girl that I was, can I say dating? Ninth grade. I'm dating her in ninth grade, whatever, whatever. We decided that we were going to go ice skating. There was an ice skating rink in Levittown. I don't know if it's there anymore or not.
I doubt it.
I think it was in Levittown. But anyway, we went ice skating, and it was whatever. I'm terrible at it, but maybe it was Hicksville. Anyway, we did what we did, had a great time, whatever. I come home, I take out my contact lenses, I go to sleep, and I wake up in the middle of the night blind in both eyes. I mean, I couldn't open my eyes. I was in such unbelievable pain. What the doctor had told me when he gave me, this is like in the days of hard contact lenses. These things are little and they're hard. So when you put them in, you have to get used to them. And the doctor said, you wear them 2 hours the first day, wear them 3 hours, then, break yourself in. Well, this is my second day, and I had them in
Didn't bother me at all.
I had them in for 8 hours, and probably by ice skating, with the cold air hitting me in the face, these things more or less just became like suction cups on my eyeballs.
Nice.
So I kind of deformed both of my eyes.
Awesome.
So I had to get patches. I was literally walking around with patches on both eyes. I was blind for about 5 or 6 days, and it was right around Christmas. So I remember when I got the album Quadrophenia.
You were Tommy the blind
kid. I was blind, like the previous Who record, Tommy, yeah. I was the blind kid listening to music, feeling my way around, wondering, what side is this? Because I literally couldn't see. It was a weird, weird time.
Irony.
So these albums all date from that exact same era. Not quite the same experience, but that era. And I'm curious to see how we think they fare. Are they as good as we thought they were? Did they get better or worse? The first one was hugely popular. Ridiculously popular, really. Elton John's album called Goodbye Yellow Brick Road.
Oh, yeah.
It spawned about 1,000 hits that you still hear on the radio all the time. That's what I'm not going to play. I'm not going to play the Funeral for a Friend thing. I'm definitely not going to play Candle in the Wind or Benny and the Jets. I'm not going to play the title song.
What are you going to play?
I'm not going to play Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting. Because these are all the things that you hear on the radio kind of ad nauseum.
All right,
you still hear them all the time. But the thing is, like, those songs
just
made the record.
What I can hear.
Well, there's a lot. It was a double album.
Oh, okay.
You know? So there's a lot that was on it. The thing is, like, this is the album that kind of put Elton over the top. And in some ways, although I was still a fan, it made him a little bit less bearable than he had been. Because I was a big fan from Madman Across the Water, Honky Chateau. Those albums are kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
They had a certain appeal. I liked them. And the earlier stuff as well. This came out, and it was like real bubblegum. Real, like, flat-out-in-your-face commercial. It was almost like bragging about the fact that it was commercial. So the guys that were suddenly really getting into him, it wasn't like the cool kids any longer that were into Elton John. It was like the kids who like really liked nothing but Elton John. So I was like still listening to the record, and I had it, and I enjoyed it. But from a distance, I'm wondering how these album tracks, the deeper cuts, so to speak, will sound 40 years on. So let's play a couple and see what you think. Do you remember the song Grey Seal from
mm-hmm.
this record?
Yeah.
You do?
I do.
Okay, because I think that was one of the better songs that wasn't a hit. So I'll start off with that. From the album Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, here's Elton John with Grey Seal.
Mission bells were rocked by ancient men. The roots were formed by twisted roots. Your roots were twisted then. I was reborn before all life could die. Phoenix bird will leave this world to fly. If the phoenix bird can fly, so can I. And tell me, Grayfield, how does it feel to be so wise?
can see by your eyes, you must be lying. When you think I don't have a clue, baby, you're crazy. If you think that you can fool me, because I've seen that movie too. It's a habit I have, I don't get pushed around. Stop twinkling your star like you do. I'm not the blueprint for all of your B-films, because I've seen that movie too. Too.
All right, so we heard two. Where's the jury on this? What do you think?
I like him, so.
Still like it.
I still like it.
I do, too. I have to admit, it still sounds good to me. I mean, the fact that it's not the hits is, it's exactly why I'm playing them. Just you're hearing the stuff that you probably, I don't think a lot of people pulled this album. I'm literally looking at the vinyl right now, because this is the copy that I had, I guess, when I was in ninth grade.
When you were a teenager? Cute.
And the whole design of the album is really very teeny bopperish. Looks like it's got like baseball card sort of art for the different band members and stuff. And it's very cartoonish, the way that it's opened up. It's a gatefold double album. But I mean, there's really not a bad side on the album. That's so it says a lot if you can put out a double album, and all the songs are good. The production is really commercial. It still sounds that way to me. Highly polished, a lot of echo, but the songwriting is good. I mean, there's no doubting that Elton John and Bernie Taupin were good songwriters. I think it's kind of funny that Elton needed Bernie so badly, because a lot of Bernie's lyrics are just weird,
Yeah, but, it makes you kind of wonder.
But listen, if you ever tried to write a song, almost anybody would tell you the hardest thing is just coming up with a theme, and that's something that Bernie was able to do. We play two. Let's play two more. A little bit deeper into the record, just to take us to the end. First, we'll play Roy Rogers, which is sort of like a song dedicated. It's not really a country song, but it's dedicated to the famous cowboy Roy Rogers. And then the track that closes the album, which you might hear on the radio from time to time, not often, but it's the track called Harmony. Here they are back to back. Yeah.
close eyes and think clear. I can hear hoofbeats ahead. Roy and Trigger have just hit the hilltop while the wife and the kids are in bed. Oh, and Roy Rogers is riding tonight. Return. Hello, baby, hello. Haven't seen your face for a while. Have you quit doing time for me? Or are you still the same spoiled child? Hello, I said hello. Is this the only place you thought to go? Am I the only man you ever had? Or am I just the last surviving friend? Your heart and let your feelings flow. You're not lucky knowing me, keeping the speed real slow. In any case, I set my own pace by stealing the show. Say hello.
And there's nothing that's going to bring back the year 1973 so much, or the feeling of being a kid in 1973 so much, as playing the album that all of your friends liked that you'd hear wherever you were going or hanging out.
Aww.
I wouldn't be surprised if this is what was playing before I walked out of the house when I was going ice skating that day or whatever. I'm thinking of the girl that I used to be, I don't know, again, I can't. Can you say dating in eighth grade? But I mean, we kind of were. We were, you know. We'd hang out. We would go
Yeah, yeah.
Skating together, go to ice cream parlors and stuff. You know, that's what people did.
Right. Go to the record store.
I'm not sure if that was the best-selling album of the year, but it was up there. Goodbye Yellow Brick Road by Elton John. And I'm not going to pick on it, as commercial as it was. Yeah, I've grown apart from it, but sounds good to hear it again. I'm really happy to hear the bits and pieces that haven't been destroyed by radio.
Your romance with it.
Right. But the thing is, like, what was happening was my taste was evolving toward what I would say, what I at the time considered to be more, quote unquote, mature music. You know, bands like I had just, you know, heard a little, like the inkling of like Southern rock, of course, and stuff like that was happening. I remember that there were concerts in Central Park in New York City. It was the Schaefer Music Festival, as I think is what they were calling it. They would hold, again, like an ice skating rink story. They held it in Wollman Rink, and it would cost $2 to get in. And you could go see a band like, whether, you know, maybe the Marshall Tucker Band, I think I had seen there, or Lynyrd Skynyrd. And the opening act would be Bonnie Raitt. And she would impress the heck out of me. So I remember buying, you know, a couple of her albums. And this was really one of the reasons that I had gotten into the band Little Feat, because I didn't know who Little Feat was. But they turned out to be the band members on the album that came out in October of 1973. Anyway, the album that did come out, it was called Taking My Time. It was her third album. And I think up until this point, okay, the first record and the second record, I think both were sort of like cult status albums. I think this album sold less. I can't say for sure because nobody really talks about this album ever. To me, if somebody asked me to name my favorite Bonnie Raitt album, it would definitely be this record, though. Her third album, I feel, is her best. At least side two, because side two is really excellent. Just, I mean, check out the band on this. Besides, you know, Freebo was her bass player, so everybody kind of remembers Freebo, the dude that she always played with. You wouldn't know him unless you knew Bonnie Raitt, but,
right,
you know, he's on this track. Billy Payne from Little Feat is on here. Van Dyke Parks, the same guy that did all the work with the Beach Boys,
right,
does a lot of the piano. He was actually a lot of the inspiration for the track, as it says here, too. John Hall, I don't know if you remember John. He's a congressman now in upstate New York. Huh. Jim Keltner on drums, Milt Holland on percussion. It goes on and on. I just took a ton of really cool people. And it's sort of like a really, I guess what this is a cover version of a Trinidadian style of music, like calypso, basically. It's sort of like something you could almost hear. I'm trying to think of some of the calypso artists that come to mind. It doesn't matter, I suppose. I'll think of some of them because there were some that I was really a big fan of. But this is like a really good calypso song because it's kind of funny. It's basically about, here's what is going to happen if you don't, you know, succumb to your girlfriend when she's ready for you to come to her. It's called What She Gonna Do Now, or What She Gonna Do.
Like rats, and have his wife to behind by
still love that track. It's cool. It's it's that Trinidadian Calypso feel that the guy was trying. The name I was remembering was Sparrow.
Yes.
Where he'd write these really cool, funny lyrics, usually very sexy or sexual in nature, just like that song is. You know, it's got that, not even an undercurrent, it's directly about sex, about, the relationship of the sexes. And I also remember that Van Dyke Parks, who put out these records that nobody bought, really, they just never, but I became a bit of a fan of his, and I remember about maybe 10 years ago, I decided to buy his collection of CDs, and there was one that was called Discover America, which was the stupidest name for this disc because pretty much the whole CD was full of like him doing calypso music, stuff that he had. And it was like, direct imitations of him, of the calypso songs that he had learned, So I'm like, well, what's the point of this? But there it is. This is kind of the point of it because he's on this track. He was sort of, like Bonnie Raitt said, he was the inspiration for her to do that track. Mm. So that's kind of cool. Now, the thing about this album that I love is, like I said, this next track that I'm going to play is, for all, basically, essentially, it is Little Feat on the band. I mean, just about every single person. It's got Lowell George on slide guitar. It's got Billy Payne on piano. It's Earl Palmer on drums. Now, that's pretty cool. So it really is. It is a mix up. Don't get me wrong. But I mean, it's just the thing about it is like you get this really awesome feel between Billy Payne and Lowell George of just how good of a band Little Feat could possibly be if you got into them. And this song is really slow to grow. It sort of starts out really plain and simple, and it's got this really awesome build. And by the time you get to the end, the best thing about it is the patience of the guitar player. That's what I loved about Lowell George. He just waits until just the right time to play, and then he'll just hit this riff that soars, and it just makes the song like jump out. It's not about showing off. It's just about playing the right notes at the right time. That's why I love this track still to this day. It's called I Feel the Same. Said goodbye, now, you know it's true. Logic. I love that track. I feel that there's something about, I mean, when intelligent players, you know, get together and you basically let a song. I learned so much about the best way to arrange a song by listening to that song. Because I must have played that song a million times in my lifetime. Just seeing just the way that it builds slowly. And we were talking about how everybody's leaving room for everybody else. And yet there's plenty for them to do when they do finally come in. And it's not like, you hear so many tracks where the guitar is just, you know, full bore up front with distortion, and it just sounds like somebody bashing out chords, and there's no room for anything in there. It's like you're in a tight, claustrophobic room. This sounds spacious, and it breathes, and yet it still is able to build tension, like the lyrics. The track's written by Chris Smither, by the way. If you ever heard him, he's a great folk blues songwriter. Now, I'll play one more track from this album. This you definitely know this songwriter. This is written by Randy Newman.
Oh, boy.
And, of course, Randy Newman can write a lot of stuff that's tongue-in-cheek sarcastic and, you know, with an attitude. This is the exact opposite. This is very odd in Randy Newman's work, where he writes a song that appears to be aimed inward at himself. Now, I'm not saying it's autobiographical by any stretch of the imagination. I'm not privy to that sort of a thing. But it's basically about somebody who apparently did somebody wrong in a relationship and is forced to face it and is really feeling incredibly sorry for himself at this exact moment. And this is really one of the saddest songs I could have ever possibly heard in 1973, man. This song ripped my guts out when I was a kid. Probably still does to this day. It's an absolute gorgeous performance. And again, listen to the piano. It's Billy Payne on piano, the genius that he is. Here's Bonnie Raitt with Guilty.
Just can't stand myself. It takes a whole lot of medicine, darling, for me to pretend that I'm somebody else.
Now, Bonnie Raitt is one heck of a great guitar player, great slide player, but when she had Lowell George, she would defer to him. And that's what was happening there. And just absolute brilliance on that song. I mean, how sad is that? It takes a whole lot of medicine for me to pretend I'm somebody else. That's from the album Taking My Time by Bonnie Raitt. We're looking at albums from 1973. Just ripped through two of them. We'll use the rest of the hour for one more. Let me remind you that you're listening, though, to American Hit Radio on WHPC 90.3. Heidi and I do this every Wednesday and Friday. A little music, a little bit of talking. It's good to be here, and glad to have you listening. It's nice when people call up, too. That's cool. I always get into that. It's nice to hear your own opinions or whatever memories you've got. So that's fine. 516-572-7440 is the number here. I should also mention, just for the heck of it, I mean, because my band is playing this Saturday in Seaford, and it's at a place called the Songbox in Seaford, and it's a really tiny venue. It's actually somebody's basement. They do this for these exclusive shows, and I don't know if it's sold out yet or not. I'm just mentioning it because it's worth looking into if you want to see something that's kind of fun. That album is sort of reminiscent of the stuff that we might be doing, I guess, a little bit on the acoustic side, because I certainly will not be playing my full drum kit in this venue. But it's the band The Last Hombres, and as I said, the venue is called The Songbox. I guess you'd have to look this up on the internet somehow to find out, because I really don't have the information. I don't have contact numbers or anything, because it's terrible. But I might get a chance to talk about it again on Friday. The show is this Saturday, the 28th. See how much still? It's unbelievable. I'm unprepared now. But we'll let that go for now. All right, for the time that's remaining then. But it should be
great.
It is cool. It's like it's this private house in Seaford. We play in this guy's basement. Maybe 50 people can fit in this place. Maybe 50 is going to be like very crowded, and it's cool for that reason. It's a real musical environment, really friendly, and you get to hear, you know, basically I love my band because I got three fantastic songwriters, great singers. And we're all basically going to be, you know, kind of like passing it around, all of us playing as a band on the tracks, which are going to be part of the album that we'll be have coming out probably in the next 2 or 3 months. I'll be talking about that in time, too. Anyway, check it out if you can. That's The Songbox for this Saturday night. Now, talking about albums from October of 1973, Neil Young is still probably one of the most popular artists that still is around from 1973, still quite popular. His entire catalog, as far as I know, is still in print. Even the Weird Bad albums, if not in print, they all came out on CD. Albums like Trans, Everybody's Rockin', of course they're out on CD. Everything that he ever did came out on CD,
right. Except
for one album called Time Fades Away.
Hmm.
And it was released 40 years ago this
what
month.
What was that released on?
Here it is.
8-track?
It only came out on vinyl. And the reason it wouldn't come out on CD is because Neil Young had a problem with it. Neil Young hated it. The thing is, it's maybe not as definitely not his best album, but it's definitely very reminiscent of some of his best stuff. It's a really good record. I think he had a problem with it because it's a live. It was one of these albums was supposed to be a live album with all brand new material.
Okay,
nothing that would have been recorded before. So that kind of makes it interesting in itself. But apparently Neil Young had a hard time with the band on this tour. There might have been personality issues or money issues, and he just wasn't happy. And I think because he wasn't happy with the experience, that reflects his opinion on the songs.
Huh.
But it didn't work that way for me. I would hear this stuff, and I thought that these songs were great. When I think of Neil Young, I often think of the songs on this album. So if you're a Neil Young fan, you might be in for a treat because you might not know any of this stuff. This is really right. This is just before the whole, like, Tonight's the Night thing. So this is like the beginning of, like, the dark years, in a sense, like the drug culture stuff. You might be able to hear some of that coming through in the tunes. They're around basically post-harvest. So this is around On the Beach, Tonight's the Night, in that era. So from the album Time Fades Away, let's start by playing the title track. Here it is, Time Fades Away.
Don't be woke up this morning with love in mind. It was raining outside, but my love still shined. Kept me warm till my plane touched the sky. And I've seen love make a fool of a man. He tried to make a loser win. But I got nothing to lose, I can't get back again. Man-made rules been holding back my love. Can't hold it back no more. Church is wrong, creed, sex is wrong. Jesus, where is nature gone? What am I doing here? What am I doing here? What am I doing here? Woke up this morning with love in mind. It was raining outside. My love still shined. Kept me warm till my plane touched the sky.
Now those two tracks, to me, like, represent both sides of this album. There's the really loose, rough-edged, under-rehearsed side of the band, kind of like just feeling their way through the tunes and just really running roughshod through the changes, but it's still kind of fun because Neil's like that.
Yeah.
Neil's stuff with Crazy Horse is really not too much different. And then there's these really nice thoughtful pieces with him at the piano, like that one called Love in Mind. And I'm going to end with one of them that's just like that, actually. This is a song that kind of sums up what we just did today. You know, time fades away, so every now and then what we ought to do is take a journey through the past. So that's the name of this track. Thanks, everybody, for joining us for another hour. Letting us take another hour of your life away, and hope you can join us on this Friday as we come back with another look at the Rolling Stones. Take care, everyone. We'll see you then.
Goodbye.
Song without a home. Steve.